Welcome to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today, Tony and I are going to cover a question that I get asked every time, which is, if I want to make money, which avenue should I take first? Should I build an audience and then sell a product? Or should I just start selling physical products and then build an audience to sell that product? And it's a complicated question with a complicated answer.
It's funny. I see you get this question when you're doing your webinars for your Profitable Online Store course. And then we also get them when we're doing webinars for Profitable Audience. And I feel like it's a weird thing, right? Because if you're doing your webinar for Profitable Online Store, you're going to say, well, like, obviously start in e-commerce. And then if you're doing a webinar for Profitable Audience, the right answer would be, not the right answer, but the marketing answer would be, well, obviously start a content site, right? Because you're trying to sell a course to create content.
I give the same answer every time, though.
But you don't. You give people an honest answer.
Yes. Yeah. That is correct.
You say, sign up for both courses and I'll give you a discount.
No, what I say is one makes money faster than the other, but the other has more potential to make more money later.
Yes. Well, right. So the first thing I think I always ask somebody when, because I get this question too, right? And we get it through email and customer service and stuff, is that you definitely have to have money to start an e-commerce business. Now, you don't have to have a lot of money. I don't know what you started with for I don't know if we've actually talked about this. I don't know how much money you started with in e-commerce. I had a partner, so we each put in $1,500. So we started our e-commerce business for $3,000, and we never put in a penny more of our own money. Like, we bootstrapped the rest of the way. So basically, but we also didn't take a profit from it for like the first 6 months because we put all that money back into like inventory and other things. So for me, you know, I had to have $1,500 to invest. And I think all of that went to product costs minus, you know, maybe like $60-$70 a month for like Shopify and Amazon, you know, because you have to pay to be in the Amazon business account, whatever. So there was like, you know, a few fees, I think email here and there, but definitely under like $200 a month to run it. So that $1,500 was all product.
We started with $630.
Yeah.
I wrote everything that we needed to do. So we had no expenses except for product.
Yeah.
Literally no expenses, actually.
You're like, we embroidered by hand with our fingers.
We didn't do embroidery when we launched. That was much later.
That's right. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. We just sold plain hankies and napkins in the beginning. But yeah, most people are going to, like, Shopify wasn't actually a big thing. It actually wasn't a thing at all back then when I started.
So you spent $630 on product. And then when you started to sell it, did you put all of that back? Like, when did you take profit out of the business?
We took profit right away, actually.
You immediately took our margins your first paycheck and went to dinner?
Well, no, I was just thinking in the first year, we actually took our margins were so ridiculous, actually, when we started.
Yeah.
I mean, they've gotten worse over the years, but in the beginning, it was literally, I'm trying to think. Let's see, it was $2 a dozen. So we're talking like, so $2 a dozen. And we were selling these things for like, you know, almost $10 each.
Okay, wait.
So just think about it.
I'm trying to do the math on that. So you made like $9.40 on every...
Just say that each hanky was like 20 cents or so, and we were selling them for like...
$10.
Yeah.
Who's paying $10? A little less than $10. Who's paying $10 for a hanky?
People getting married.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're very price insensitive.
Yeah.
But anyways, I mean, times have changed, obviously.
Yeah.
So it's much harder to get margins like that. But I think the point is when you're selling something, you're selling something. Whereas when you're making content, it's not like there's an exchange of goods.
Right.
Right. And so that is why, you know, when you actually sell something, you're more likely to make money quicker.
Yeah.
Than with content where you actually, you know, with content, you actually have to build up critical mass before you can make any money. And I always tell everyone, like, I didn't make a single penny my first year. You did, but I didn't. When did you start making money?
I made Twinkies. Come on. I didn't. I don't know if I made cash money. I made stuff in. I made product money. So, because when I got started, a lot of these people paid you in product anyway. Like, you know, oh, if you post about this, we'll send you, you know, $100 worth of Subway gift cards or, Yeah, so I don't think I made any cash money the first year, but I got paid in, you know, Little Debbie snacks and other delicious items.
I mean, the Subway deal isn't that bad, actually.
No, and it's funny because one of the things that I always preached as a blogger was to, you know, don't let them pay you in gift cards and snacks, right? Because at the end of the day, you can't pay your web hosting bill. You can't call up Liquid Web and be like, I'll trade you a month of hosting for 3 footlongs. What do you think? You know, like, it doesn't work. So I always talk about, like, always get paid in, a, you know, cash or check, whatever, you know, actual money. But then sometimes something comes along that's just so good. You know, like I got that Sleep Number bed years ago, right? So it's like, that's a $5,000 bed. I mean, I'm gonna take that. You know, you don't need to pay me for that. But like, you know, you got to be, what's the word? You got to be smart about those decisions.
So what do you do? So back to the original question.
Yeah.
Do you start selling right away and then build an audience to sell your products? Or do you build that audience first and then start selling products? And we know people who have done it both ways and have been very successful.
Here's the part about selling products. I think it's a lot harder to sell products today than it was. I feel like even like 6 years ago when I got started, you could literally put anything on Amazon and get it to sell.
Yeah, if we're talking about Amazon, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think it's that easy anymore, in my opinion. Like I don't spend a ton of time on Amazon anymore, but like it's not like it used to be at all. And everyone says that. So there's much more competition. Amazon's gotten dirty. Like it's just, they've gotten more dirty, I guess. But anyway, so I feel like it's a lot harder than to just like what you and I did, which was invest a couple $100 and throw some product out there. The other thing to think about is, you know, and I don't know how you got sales initially, but like most people have to run ads to their products.
Amazon didn't exist when I started.
Right. But like when you had your own website, like
how we ran ads.
Yeah, so that costs money too. And if you're not good at running ads, you're going to dump a lot of money in the toilet on that. So I feel like the costs are, to me, if you don't have a lot of money, then definitely don't get into products because the cost can eat you alive, especially if you're not quite sure about like what you're doing. Like I think about a friend of ours, Kim, who I think she took your course. And she got into baby necklaces. Do you remember this? And some other... some other gated products, we'll say.
Yeah.
And so she spent, you know, probably $1,000 on inventory, which is a lot of money, and then ran into all sorts of issues with getting them approved and getting like some certificate from the factory that it was, you know, a certain type of materials because it was for kids under 3. And then she had issues with the other products because it was a gated category and you couldn't run ads to it. And she ended up going in a totally different direction. She's actually doing like more of a course digital thing right now, I think. But, you know, for her, she outlaid a lot of money. She spent money on ads. She, you know, worked on Amazon stuff and she ended up not for any fault of her own, right? She did all the research. I mean, I was in a mastermind with her. We literally walked through your lessons every week. She did all the right things, but she just hit all these hiccups. And at some point you have to decide like, is this worth it to keep going or is it time for me to move in another direction?
I think for Amazon, that's the case because you have no point of differentiation and you don't have to pay for ads. So I'm actually doing this series on the other podcast on student stories. Mm-hmm. And actually almost none of them relied on ads for their initial business. Pretty interesting. One did SEO. Mm-hmm. Another just went on Facebook groups and Instagram. Mm-hmm. And then our mutual friend, Jen, her daughter leveraged Facebook groups to get a lot of her initial sales also. I think on Amazon, you're right. Like you have to focus more on the product and the packaging these days in order to be successful. And it's pretty cutthroat because there's all these crazy people trying to knock you off. But, you know, to a certain extent, I think these days it's almost easier to start your own store as long as you have like a reasonable time frame. Mm-hmm. Learn how to put together a compelling ad, which is very important. This is why I put together this whole ad workshop and just and kind of enjoy the process.
Yeah. Who's having fun? Who's having fun with this,
actually,
Steve?
It's a lot. We've done a couple of these, or I've taken a student and we've like created ads on the fly, like off the cuff, preparation.
Yeah.
It's been kind of fun. But back to the original question. So
I'm not discouraging anyone to going into physical products because I think that it's a great way to make money. Obviously, I did it. So I just think there's just the learning curve is so steep. Whereas I feel like if you're a content creator, it's super easy. And maybe I'm saying that as someone who's been a content creator, right? But I've done both.
I'm thinking both things have their different challenges, right?
Yeah.
I think with content creation, the challenge is one, persistence.
Yeah.
Two, you can't just put out any old content, right? You actually have to be good at it. And that just takes time. I mean, we've been doing this for over 10 years now on the content side too, right? And even I'm still learning. Maybe not in this episode, but in a subsequent episode, I'll probably talk about how I've kind of revamped my entire writing style in the last year and a half, actually, to get more traffic. Like, I literally had to reinvent the way I write.
Yeah.
And things just change all the time. So, you know, whatever you choose, it's going to be a challenge. You're going to learn a lot. So effort-wise, it's just a different type of challenge, really.
Yeah, so here's kind of my big thinking about this. If you start in e-commerce, these are the skills that I think you have to learn to be successful. You have to learn how to create a website. Now, you know, I would say that's equally as hard as creating a WordPress site, right? Like Shopify, Woo, BigCommerce, whatever. Like, it's not hard, right? You just have to learn it.
I think it's a little harder, probably.
Well, because you're looking at conversions and, like, you know, there's a little more details. But you still have to do some sort of finagling with a website, right? So if you don't have any experience with that, I would say that's equal between content and e-commerce, right? Like, you're going to have to either figure out WordPress or Shopify, whatever.
I think the difference, though, is with a Shopify store, you actually have to have, like, a whole bunch of other things down for conversions, right?
Yeah.
Versus a content site where you can just put some up and just start writing content.
Right. So the next thing I think you need to figure out is how to get your products, right? So you have to deal with all of that, which is, I think, very intimidating. Like, I one of the reasons why I thought, like, I was so sold on your course is that you made that. I think that is the part of your course that's worth every penny that you pay for it, is that you make that part manageable, right? It's still difficult. It's not like, oh, this is so easy. Like, you're not doing the work for anybody. But the way you lay it out is like, oh, I can do this. Like, you know, you kind of give people, like, basically a script to go through to, like, work with an overseas vendor.
You know what's funny about all this is whenever someone asks me about easiness, I actually prefer it to be a little hard because that prevents other people from doing it.
Yes.
Right? I mean, if anyone can do it, that means, like, there's going to be this sea of competition.
Right.
So I consider these things an advantage. Like, why do we do embroidery and personalized goods? Pain in the butt. Pain in the butt, and it costs a lot of money for these machines. Yeah. But that just makes it less likely for someone to copy us. But anyway, go finish your thought.
So get into the office furniture business, because that's a pain in the butt to import.
Actually, that's what Greg's wife is doing.
Yeah, I know. It's made me think of it. I see some of her. I don't know if they're ads or just promo stuff that she puts on Instagram, but I see her stuff's great. But, like, I do think that's another, like, hurdle that you're going to have to deal with. And then I think the big one is, like, actually figuring out, like, the product and making sure. Because at the end of the day, you know, especially if you're importing from overseas, you and I have both had this happen. You get stuck with a lot of crap sometimes, right? You get a bad shipment. So there's all that component. So I think in that way, it's a lot harder to go into e-commerce because you have these other factors.
True, absolutely.
Some of which are kind of out of your control, right? Like, you're going to do your best and take all the right steps and protect yourself with payments and all that thing. But at the end of the day, you're still relying on the factory to deliver what you promised.
That's correct.
Then I think, you know, you've got your product, you've set up your website. Then you have to start working on all these things you were just talking about, like conversion optimization. You know, is the buy button visible? Like, I mean, it's so funny. You and I have both seen this, and I think it's happened to both of us too, where it's like you do something on your website, and then all of a sudden something that's actually integral to getting someone to check out is missing on mobile, right? Or very hard to read, or, you know, there's all these other factors, right, that you have to become educated about, right? So it's not just like, oh, everything's great and perfect, you know. So you have all that component too, of like getting people to convert on a store shop or on a store website, which is, I think you have to be educated on that to understand how that works. And then I think with both avenues, you need to learn email marketing. So I think that's equal. I think, you know, and then I think with products, you have to learn ads and you have to learn ad copy and ad
You don't images. Have to. Depends on what your income goals are, but
Well, if you want to sell
My general philosophy is if you just have one traffic avenue that's mm-hmm. good, you can make six figures. Yep. Like I have a lot of students that are just doing it based on SEO alone, which ironically is content, right?
Yes.
So.
Okay, so then being equal, both sides are content-based, right? Like if that's what you're going to focus on for your store, then you've got to become really good at SEO and understand how to
I think e-commerce SEO is a little different though.
No, I think it's not. I don't think it's the same, but I think you have to learn it.
The content I mean is different.
Yeah.
So for example, for products, you only need like 300 words often.
Yeah.
To get something to rank. Whereas if you're doing a content site, you're putting on full on blog posts, right? Which are well researched and it's just, I guess the level of competition in the content game, like pure content, is probably more because there's a chance there's a lot of people writing about that or creating content about that already.
Yeah. Well, and then we've got inventory.
Inventory.
Shipping. Being out of stock.
Yep.
Customer service.
Yep.
And the reality is when you're just starting out, unless you just have all this money that you want to like throw at something, you're doing all of that yourself. I mean, you and I both talk about how back when you were a kid, Steve, back in the early 2010s, whatever we're going to call that, like you were in message boards as what, Christine?
Yes.
Answering wedding questions. And I mean, I was doing the same thing. I was using a different name to run customer service. They didn't know there was just like a one-man show. So like we've both done, basically when you're doing e-commerce, you have to learn all the things and you have to learn them all pretty quickly because all of it, as soon as you start making sales, you need to worry about shipping and customer service. And like, I mean, you remember me when I started shipping from my own house, like I didn't know that there was like a label printer. Like I was trying to print labels on my, you know, regular family homeschool printer and, you know, going to Staples every 4 hours to buy packs of like I didn't even know that you could buy these little Dymo, whatever they are. Like that was
I think you were an anomaly because you hit six figures in a month early on. I think realistically, like if you do the math, let's see if your average order size is about 50, 60 bucks. That's only six orders a day in order to hit 100K. And it's six orders a day. That's not a huge customer service load, right? I think what you experienced was a lot different because you had like this huge influx of sales and you were going nuts because you didn't have the infrastructure for that.
No, I did not. But I think with all of that, you still have to have customer service. You still have to be checking that inbox.
That's correct. That's correct.
You have to have shipping supplies. You have to figure out what the 3PL situation is. I mean, like all those things are things that you need to know from day one.
Absolutely.
Like what's my return policy? What's my this? Do I have a warranty? Do I have a guarantee? Like all those things. Like when you're creating content, you literally like set up your Hello World WordPress and write.
But you can argue that if you're going to sell like a digital product or something, you need to figure that stuff out too.
Yes.
Like once time comes to creating the content is the easy part.
Yeah.
It's the monetization that requires a little bit more thought. If you want to make the equivalent amount of money, let's just say.
Yes, but I think the difference is that with e-commerce, you have to start with the monetization, right?
Correct.
Like that's where you start.
Yep.
Whereas the content, I feel like, I think you've used this. I'm going to steal your analogy. You use that runway analogy. Is that you that talks about that?
I've used the word runway before, but tell me what I said.
Well, like with e-commerce, I feel like it's a helicopter, right? Like you start it and you just go up. Like there's no margin for error. I mean, there is obviously, but like you better be in the air. Like that's like the first goal for e-commerce is to sell. Like, so you got to get in the air. With content creation, it's like an airplane. You have this runway where you like taxi, 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 wait for the other planes to take off, taxi, taxi. You know,
that's not 15th my analogy,
in line.
But I like it.
No, I know. Yeah. You know, but like you get all this like runway to like learn stuff. And like you and I both talk about this a lot. Like our first blogs were horrible. You know, we wrote stupid stuff. Like both of us aren't writing anything like what we were writing when we first got started. Like the content's not even, like we changed our niche basically. Like, You can't, I mean, you can change your niche in e-commerce, but it's hard to say like, well, I started selling hankies and now I sell hot dog bun trays, right? Like totally different. That was a weird analogy, but like, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying though?
Yeah.
It's like, I think with content creation, and I do feel like too, if you have a full-time job and you don't have like all this free time, like content's something that you can easily just give yourself like, hey, I'm going to work 3 to 4 hours a week just writing.
Yeah, content is a slow burn. Like I'm actually a huge fan of both business models. One, like if you just kind of do it on the side, just like you're saying,
yeah,
write a couple articles here and there, and then over time, you know, if you're not in a rush to monetize that content, then it's great. Actually, you're building up equity in this thing that you own that's only going to get better with time.
Yeah. Well, I think about one of the students in our course, David Crable, who has a site. Is it Forager.com?
Forager. Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, he's been writing on that site for 6 or 7 years, I think. It's been a long time. And then he joined the course. And I think his point of joining the course was like, I'm ready to like level it up now. I've been doing all the like little things, the day to day, the creation of the content. And he started to implement some pretty cool things. You know, he's sending out emails regularly, podcasting, doing TikToks. And now he's actually seeing this like revenue growth for his business, right? And he's getting opportunities. I think he was like a keynote speaker somewhere last year. So there's like all these other things that are happening for him. But he was able to kind of maintain stuff for a while. And then, you know, then he like basically flipped the switch, right? And now he's starting to see that financial growth.
Yeah, I think the one thing that I really like about content is it's really building your personal brand also and your authority.
Yeah.
And even if you decide to do something else, it's pretty easy to pivot to something else.
Yeah.
Whereas, okay, so like, let's just take Bumblebee Linens. Like if I decide to sell something completely different, like camping equipment, that's going to be tough. Whereas in theory, I could probably steer gradually over time my readers over to something completely, well, not completely different, but something different. Like if I decide to go into crypto or something, or
I think you'd have to stay in the same genre.
Same genre, yeah. Yeah, but it'd be easier to do with content.
Yeah.
Because my authority kind of transfers over, at least that initial audience that I would have.
Yeah, I mean, if you got into DIY, you'd have a problem.
I could pull it off on Bumblebee, though. DIY, because we did crafts and stuff, so it's not a huge stretch, I guess.
Yeah.
To go into DIY something else.
That's true. That's about it. Food. Don't go into food.
Food, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we didn't answer the question yet. So what's better for certain people depending on where they're at?
So that's the thing that I think. I think it's all personality-based. Personality and time. I think if you have money and time, then I would definitely go into e-commerce first.
Money and time?
Not like tons of money, but like if you have a chunk of money and a chunk of spare time, then I would definitely say go to e-commerce
first. I was going to say like if you have some money to invest and you want to make money sooner, like that's your main goal right off the bat, then go into e-commerce.
Yeah.
Right? Are we saying the same thing?
Yes, but I think you need to have the money to do it, right? Like
you have to have some money, absolutely.
Yeah, if you have $150, like that's not.
I would say if you want to do private label, at least $2,000 to $3,000.
Yeah.
But if you want to do drop shipping or print on demand, you can start with actually less than $100.
Don't you never recommend drop shipping?
Well, print on demand is different.
I don't actually
not recommend drop shipping. Like if you don't have the money, you start out drop shipping, find out what sells, and then you private label the winners. But it takes longer, obviously.
Yeah. And if you don't have a lot of money.
And if you don't have a lot of money. But I'm a huge believer in, actually, you know what? I'm actually a huge believer in YouTube.
Yeah.
Now, up there with blogging, I mean, it takes more effort, obviously.
Yeah.
Blogging is probably the cheapest way to get started, would you say?
Yeah, for sure.
You get a website for like $3 a month and you just start writing. And you can do that on your own time. You don't need any equipment.
I don't think any of the content creation is... I think, honestly, podcasting is the most expensive because you got to buy a good microphone.
With YouTube, you need a good mic also.
But not... I think people have been very successful on YouTube with their cell phone.
Not for audio, though.
But we both know people who literally, when they got started on YouTube, did not have a nice audio setup.
I mean, the same can be said about podcasting, right?
Well, I don't know. Are you going to, you know, listen?
Probably well, no not. One's going to watch that either, right?
But I'm just saying, like, we both know people who literally just vlog with their phone and maybe like a $10 lapel mic and have had huge success.
Sure,
whereas
sure.
I mean, with the podcast, if your audio is crappy, you're probably not going to be able to generate, you know.
You can get by with a lapel mic. So Rick Mulready, you know who Rick Mulready is, right?
Yeah.
When he puts out some episodes on this, like, he interviewed me at Social Media Marketing World, and he pulled out, like, these two cheap lapel mics and we did an interview mm-hmm. right there. So I think equipment wise, it's about the same, but yeah. YouTube's just a lot more stressful.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more work because in the podcast world, you can interview people.
Yeah.
You can just start talking, which you're very good at.
Yeah.
Whereas on YouTube, I mean, it's harder to make money with a vlog these days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, I interrupted your thought.
But you still can. Yeah. You still can.
You still can. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, I was just saying, like, I think any kind of content, if you want to start putting stuff on Instagram, if you want to start a Facebook group, if you want to make TikToks, like all those things, they're all creating content. They're building an audience that you can then at some point use to make money from.
Right. Okay. One of the advantages of putting out content first is sometimes the initial product that you think of selling in e-com might not mm-hmm. be the right product. Whereas when you have an audience, you can actually ask them what they want.
Yeah.
Or and then make sure that you have the right product to offer them, right? Like yeah. I didn't launch my class. I had no intentions of launching a course ever until people just kept asking for it. They just kept asking for it and then finally did it. Profitable audience, same thing. People are asking for a content creation class.
Yeah.
So we decided to put that out. Whereas when I started the Hanky business, no one was asking for hankies.
Well, everywhere you went, people were crying and you were having to like hand out the hankies. So that makes sense.
I mean, we were basically scratching our own itch and who knew that, you know, I mean, we validated it through eBay, but I mean, it was just a short validation process.
Yeah.
Whereas when I launched the class, I knew it was going to sell because we already had I had this really big list of people who were already on the waiting list for it.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing I like about content also is that the authority that it has given me allows, like, let's say I want to go into software, mm-hmm. like an e-commerce software product. Well, I probably already have a base of people who would be interested in it.
Yeah.
Right? So I can go beyond into different things.
Yeah.
Or if I were to want to write a book or go on the speaking circuit or any of those things. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just a lot more flexibility there.
Yeah. So I would say one of the biggest advantages to products is because I would probably do both again. So it's not like I ever.
What would you do first, though?
I would do it the same way.
Okay.
Content I would probably sell a product that I could market to my audience like better. But that's a totally different topic. The one thing that I loved about e-commerce. So one of the things that happened to me in content creation is that I was obviously the face of my brand. I did a lot of, we've talked about this before. I did a lot of media. I did a lot of news. I spoke, you know, it was very like forward facing, right? To the point where, you know, my kids would be at the pool and people would recognize them, right? So there was a lot of pressure on my family to behave in a certain way or act a certain way because, you know, I'm internet famous, which is literally means nothing outside of the internet, right? But like enough that like it was affecting our daily lives at times, right? Because we'd be at the grocery store and I'd get recognized, especially because I did news in the area where we lived. So, you know, people would see me on the local news station or, you know, some segment and then they would see my kids at the pool or I mean, I had someone come to my house, right? So like it was hard to get away from that like personality. Whereas in e-commerce, I was totally anonymous, right? Nobody knew who I was. Like my face wasn't anywhere. You know, no one cared who my kids were. And so I think that was like very – and maybe it's because I came from the other thing, right? I came from feeling like a lot of pressure on my kids to the point where like my kids – you know, I remember when like they were younger and we would go to eat dinner and they would all just sit there and like, can we eat yet or do you have to take a photo? Like they'd be irritated with me, right? Which legitimately so, like this isn't a knock on my kids. But when I got into e-commerce, it was like, it didn't affect them in any way other than I know I made them work, but they got paid.
I was going to just say, you ruined my rebuttal. Yeah,
I know. I was going before you could make fun of me. But, you know, it was so nice to be anonymous. It was so nice for nobody to know who I was. It was so nice to not feel that pressure of having to like keep up a certain appearance, right? And so for me, like having the one experience, having that experience of like, nobody knows who I am and nobody cares who I am was really refreshing. And like looking back on that, like I think long term, I don't think like I struggle with this today. Like you and I've talked about this before. Like some, there's some days where I'm sick of being in the public. Like I pulled a couple years ago, you know, I pulled back from doing a lot of different things because I was like, I just don't want people in my life anymore like that, like strangers. Whereas, you know, with e-commerce, you can go full bore like 24/7 and never, nobody ever, like, do you know who runs, you know, one of your favorite, some of your favorite
brands?
I just ordered some parts for my motorcycle from Cycle Gear. I don't know who runs Cycle Gear. I don't care who runs Cycle Gear. Like, literally does not matter to me at all. So I think that in that way, like, I think you can create a content site and not be a public person either. But I think in today's world, with how marketing is going, with everything being short form video and everything being like, you've got to put yourself out there. If that's not something that you want to do, don't go into content in this stage. Like, don't. Because back when we started, there were people that blogged anonymously. Remember?
Yeah.
Like, was it 5 Cent Nickel? Wasn't he anonymous for
a long time? I'm thinking our mutual friend Larry Ludwig, he actually had a blog where his name wasn't really on it. He sold it for $6 million.
Yeah. Well, Harlan went by a different name. He was basically anonymous.
Oh, yeah, he was
anonymous. Flexo. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think those days are kind of over. I mean, I think there's always exceptions to the rule, but today, like, if you're not doing some sort of like video or putting yourself out there or getting some sort of like personal touch in that community on a content site, it doesn't work.
Actually, even SEO has changed. Like, Google actually looks to see who the author is.
Right.
Right, for authority with their human raters. So yeah, I think I would agree with you there. You don't really, You probably need people out there.
Sure.
If you wanted to not be it, you could just have someone be like the face.
Yeah. Look at Ezra with Boom Makeup, right?
That's true.
He built this huge makeup brand with, I think she was his partner, right?
Like, yes, business partner.
Business partners. But like, obviously Ezra used Boom as like a huge case study for his other products. But if you think about it, you know, he never promoted makeup. He never walked around and showed people how beautiful his skin is. You know, it's like he always relied on,
even though it
Cindy
is
Joseph.
Pretty smooth, but yeah,
absolutely. Yep. He has the best skin in all of internet marketing. But so, and I think that's the case. Like you sell wedding hankies. You're not out on the wedding circuit, right? I mean, you could hire somebody to be a spokesperson for Bumblebee very easily. But you don't have to, right? You don't have to be out there, you know, trying on wedding dresses and mopping people's tears up to have a successful business.
That's correct.
Even though I'm sure you're doing that on a daily basis.
I'm trying to think of whether that is 100% true in the content space.
I said there's always exceptions.
Yeah, I know. You know, what's ironic is Larry, the friend that we just talked about.
Yeah.
His new site is LarryLudwig.com.
He's coming out.
And he's actually all over that site, right? Like his picture and everything.
Yeah. Well, like, think about Kyle Taylor with Penny Hoarder.
Right. Actually, no one knew he was running that.
Yeah. Right. So I think there are exceptions to the rule with this. But, you know, if someone said to me, hey, I want to get a content site going, and what's the like fastest way to growth? Make some videos. Like, that's what you and I would both tell somebody.
Yep.
So you're not going to hire a spokesperson when you're just getting started.
Right.
Hey, I have no money. Can you be my spokesperson and talk about things that I'm writing about? Doesn't work.
You'd have to get like a partner, like an equity partner, I think, to pull that off.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this then. Do you feel like it requires more than one content medium to be successful in content these days?
I don't know. No. No.
Like, let me rephrase that question. Do you think just written content by itself is good enough?
I think if you're really good at SEO, yes.
Yeah. And YouTube by itself is probably pretty good. I've seen a lot of people.
The only thing with like anything like YouTube, TikTok, social, Instagram, you have to have that website, right, to drive people.
Yes,
you
absolutely.
Know, you have to have like that home base. But can you do 95% of your work on YouTube? Sure.
Yeah. All right. So let's kind of conclude this episode by asking what you would do if you were just all over again. Like, let's say you had a job back when you were still consulting for savings and you were making, you know, decent money, but nothing earth shattering. What would you start first, e-commerce or content?
I would start content first.
Content first. Even if you knew it was going to take you like a year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I feel like it's such a skewed, because I know what to do.
Yeah.
So it's hard to have that perspective from someone who's totally green.
Right.
But I think if I was just, you know, working a day job and just was like, hey, I think I want to start something else, I would start with content. But I would honestly, I'd start with, you know, I'd start making TikToks. I'd start a YouTube channel. I'd start there. Like I'd set up my website, right? I'd put my, you know, yep, domain and park it, put an email form, you know, like very basic. And I would go all in on one of the, probably YouTube or TikTok.
I think if I were to start all over again, and at the time, like, my wife was doing six figures and she desperately wanted to quit, I probably wouldn't have changed our course of action. I don't think I could have taken a content site to her income level in a year. Like, even knowing what I know now, like, starting from zero, I don't know if I could apply. Yeah, probably not. I would say probably not.
If I was absolutely miserable and I was like, I hate my job, because I didn't hate my consulting job at all. But if I was like, I got to get out of here, I'd probably go into e-commerce. But I would also, I think, and I know you say that I had like unusual success in e-commerce, which I know I did. But a lot of people, like, we know people that have had that happen too. Like, I'm not the only person.
Correct. Yes, absolutely.
But I think if you're going to go into e-commerce, like, be prepared to not have any friends for a year. And you did the same thing when you were starting Bumblebee. Like, you
I think
said
starting
you didn't
anything,
hang out with
I
friends.
Didn't have friends. I mean, I just don't have any friends.
Maybe you don't have any friends. That's but I feel like when I did Happy Housewife, like, I still, like, I worked a lot. Like, I'm not, like, I don't want anyone to get the impression that I, like, you know, pumped out content 2 hours a week. Like, I worked a lot in my free time, but we still, like, I still had a very active social life. When I got into e-commerce, I literally only saw my business partner. Like, I did nothing else for probably the first like 6 to 9 months, because there was just so many different components and things that were going on. And because we were fulfilling ourselves, like, that's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
But I do think, like, with e-commerce, and especially if I didn't, like, e-commerce to me was kind of easy because I knew so much of the components of it already. I knew how to write emails. I knew how to set that up. I knew how to write compelling copy. I knew how to sell. Right. So I didn't have to learn all that on top of learning the e-commerce. I had to learn the importing side and the Shopify side, but I didn't, and the Amazon side, but I didn't have to learn the, like, marketing side. So
I think if I look back on my experience, the only reason it took me a long time, or us a long time, the sourcing actually wasn't that bad. And there's a lot of downtime in sourcing, right? You go back and forth, and then you got to wait like months before your thing is shipped. What took me forever, personally, that I think people today have an advantage on is, like, I tried to write my own website, which was dumb.
Which you still do.
Right? Which I still do, just because it's, you know, I know the code so well now. Yeah. But these days, Shopify takes that out of the equation.
Right.
I'm trying to think what's hard. Like, if you want to advertise, then that's hard to learn.
Yeah.
And I think I had a big benefit with Google in that my brother-in-law worked in the AdWords department back in the day. So he helped walk me through that. And I'm just trying to think, back in the day also, we were doing a lot of content marketing also, which that, I guess, has less of a learning curve, but it you know, it does to a certain extent with writing. So I would say, in terms of time, I don't think e-commerce necessarily, I think it might take less time unless you're trying to fulfill everything yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you're using Amazon, it's definitely less time. Like, I know tons of people who are one-man shops doing over $1 million.
Yes. Yeah.
If you're trying to fulfill yourself and run a warehouse, then yes.
Yeah.
I was trying to think now, like, when we started making significant money with our e-commerce store, we were running it out of our house still. That was a learning curve, because all of a sudden we had to be organized. Like, I'm not, like, the most organized person. My wife is.
Wait, you? You're not the most organized person?
Yeah, I know. Hard to believe, right?
I'm shocked.
And then all of a sudden, you got to worry about shipping. You got to worry about packaging. Like, if you're trying to do your own inventory operation, yes. Which is, ironically, what we were both doing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you had to go merchant fulfilled during that crazy holiday season. And that's why you were pulling all your hair out.
Yeah.
Whereas my experience with content was a little different. I felt I was burning myself out trying to write every single day in the beginning when I didn't need to be.
Yeah.
So I guess it just depends on how you approach it. I mean, there's downtime for everything, and it just depends on how much you want to take on yourself versus outsource.
Yeah. I think e-commerce takes a little more time than content creation, just overall. That's my opinion.
I'm trying to think if I can. Problem is, like, I can't even remember what it was like back then anymore. Like my learning curve for content was pretty steep too, because I actually looked at all the source code for WordPress so I could understand everything, right? I mean, and all the plugins and...
And that's where you lost
And creating everybody. The funnels and all that stuff. Yes. Like some of the stuff I do for My Wife Quit, it's pretty in-depth also, right?
Yeah.
So I would say probably say e-commerce is a little bit more difficult. Like if you want to, because you have that inventory component.
Yeah.
I think that's a major difference. But they both have their challenge. Well, I hope you enjoy that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.